Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sangrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschadya Deshatarine. So, today is the most auspicious ceremony, initiation ceremony. Initiation means now you're formally beginning your relationship with the spiritual master as his initiated disciple. This is the most important decision one can make. Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains in this connection. This is a lecture he gave on January 5th, 1974 in Los Angeles. Prabhupada states, deathlessness begins from the day of initiation. Adau Gurashvayam. As soon as you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, your point of deathlessness begins immediately. And if you continue the advice and instruction of the spiritual master or the Shastra, then you become deathless, no more death. So if one takes this initiation vow very seriously, as one is meant to do, it's not a joke, not just some thing for social upkeep, for prestige. This means now, if you actually take your vows very seriously, that now I'm giving my life and soul to the spiritual master. His order is my life and soul. If one takes it with this degree of seriousness, then at this very moment of your initiation, you enter into the realm of deathlessness, immortality. Actually, that is the real nature of the self. We're actually eternal. We're not these material bodies, but due to misidentification with these material bodies, we're suffering like anything, birth after birth after birth after birth. So if one understands, I'm not this body, I'm actually the eternal servant of Krishna, and I need to get out of this illusion of bodily consciousness. I need to get back to that original nature that I've actually had within me for millions and millions of lifetimes. I just haven't been able to manifest it. Initiation, if taken seriously, empowers you to actually manifest your spiritual identity once again, you see. We know it's there, but you need that empowerment of a bona fide spiritual master. You need that empowerment of initiation to actually give you the strength to overcome the modes of material nature and to revive that actual identity as the eternal servant of Krishna. Prabhupada always would give some talk on the 10 offenses, because This is really what draws the line between material consciousness and pure bhakti. One has to master the art of purely chanting the holy names. The first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. Why is that so important? It's very, very important. It's of the utmost importance. This is the first offense mentioned. Why this is the first one, you see? It's very much emphasized because, as Krishna tells Arjuna in the Adi Purana, ye me bhakta janaparta, na me bhaktastate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he is not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So just see how important it is to not have blasphemous attitudes about devotees. We have to learn to worship and love all of the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, we will not be able to purely chant the holy name. We'll not be able to properly connect with our spiritual master. So we must learn how to have proper loving attitudes towards the Vaishnavas. It's not just what you say, but it's what you feel and think also, you see. What do I feel about the devotees? What do I think about the devotees? You see? Because if you're not thinking and feeling correctly, sooner or later that will come out in your mouth also. So we have to cultivate the proper loving mood for all the Vaishnavas. It's very, very essential. Number two, to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent in the name of Lord Vishnu. Especially in India, there's this idea that there's many gods. You can chant Shiva, Shiva, Durga, Durga, Kali, Kali. No, we cannot bring Krishna down to the level of the demigods. Krishna is the god of the gods. Deva, Deva. He's the god of all the gods. When you give your loving service to Krishna, just as when you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. When you give your love to Krishna, every bit of your love to Krishna, then your love goes everywhere to all the demigods, all the living entities. Everyone receives that love when you give it to Krishna. Three, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. It's not some optional thing, I can take it or leave it. When your spiritual master gives an instruction, one must take that as his very life and soul. That is the sum and substance of the guru-disciple relationship. Now I am totally sold out to my spiritual master. Four, to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. We have to have full faith in these teachings, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, Teachings of Lord, all these books that Prabhupada has given us. We have to have full faith in these books and regularly read these books. To consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination, because Krishna, the sound vibration, Krishna is Krishna himself. There's actually unlimited Shakti in those two syllables. That person, Krishna, who is emanating everything from himself right now, we are all his emanated energy. The city of Melbourne, the country of Australia, the planet Earth, this whole universe is simply an insignificant portion of a portion of a portion of his multi-energies. That same Supreme Person is manifesting everything. He is fully present in Krishna. You see, there's no difference between the person Krishna and the name Krishna. That's the nature of the Absolute. So when you utter Krishna in the proper mood, you're actually coming in direct contact with that person who's the source of all existence. To give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. Well, Krishna means black, so you say, well, black means darkness, ignorance. So Krishna means ignorance. Some speculators say like that. We should not in any way follow this sort of grammatical so-called understanding of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Person, the source of all existence. Number 7, to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Prabhupada explains it should not be taken that because by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can be freed from all kinds of sinful reaction. One may continue to act sinfully, and after that chant Hare Krishna to neutralize his sins. Such a dangerous mentality is very offensive and should be avoided. This is very prevalent in Christianity. They commit sins all week long, and the Catholics go to confession on Saturday, and that by confessing, now I'm free from my sin, and they go back and sin another week, and they go back and get relief from the sin by confessing, and this way they take the process very cheaply of devotion. So don't take it like that. That since this is neutralizing my sin, I can continue sinning. No, we must stop that sinning. Therefore, we have our regulative principles. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. You see? Sex life we use only for procreation. Prabhupada told us very clearly in the very beginning, he trained us, sex life is only for procreation once in a month, 4 to 5 days after the lady's menstrual cycle, and if both husband and wife have chanted 50 rounds of japa, at least 50 rounds of japa. Other than that, we have no interest in sex life, you see. Our only interest is to awaken pure love of God. If we indulge in sex life beyond that, we're putting ourselves back in the bodily concept of life, and we're not going to awaken love of God within our hearts. Number 8, to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruit of activities, karma kanda. It's like, my kids are going for their finals today, so I'll chant some extra rounds for my kids to do well in their finals, for example. Don't do that kind of nonsense, you see. The holy name is not for some material purpose. You want your kids to do well in their finals, you make them study. Don't chant extra rounds for your kids' finals. It's using the holy name for material purpose. It's nama-parad. Don't do such nonsense things. 9, to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. So I'm thinking, well, I don't like to preach anyway, so I won't. This means I don't have to preach. No, it means you have to preach with intelligence. You don't talk about the high-level philosophy. You don't, just like you don't teach PhD-level philosophy to a first grader, you see. You don't teach algebra or trigonometry or calculus to a first grader. For a first grader, 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. Maybe the second grade, 2 × 2 = 4. So preaching means you, according to the level of that person, actually our duty, our mission given by Lord Chaitanya is to preach to everybody. Our duty is to make the whole world Krishna conscious as soon as possible, to relieve the suffering souls from their horrible entanglement in karma chakra. So we are meant to preach, but we have to be intelligent how we preach according to the level of the audience. 9, to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names, and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. This is a tough one for all of us, you see, because we're all very attached to the material world, you see. That's why we're stuck in this cycle of birth and death. So we have to really, really get free from these material attachments. Well, how do you do that? How do you get rid of these material attachments, you see? Our nature is to be attached. We have that nature attached. So the key of getting free of material attachments is you have to become more and more attached to Krishna, more and more attached to Guru, more and more attached to Vaishnavas, more and more attached to Vrindavan, to Mayapur, to this nice temple here, the beautiful deities. You see, the books the prasadam, all the wonderful things that are our Vaishnava culture. These are things we should get attached to, you see. Because the more you become attached to Krishna and all these things that are related to Krishna, the material attachments naturally fade away because this is a higher taste. Taste we require. You can't just give up tastes like the Mayavadis or the Buddhists. They try to deny the varieties, you see. But we embrace taste on a transcendental platform. The taste of a holy name. The taste of devotional service. The nectar we experience by giving our love to Krishna, you see. In this way, we can easily get rid of these material attachments because they are a lower taste. It's also offensive to be inattentive while chanting. We have a tendency to go somewhere else. I'm chanting, but I'm thinking something else, I'm looking somewhere else. That's a tendency all of us neophytes have, you see, to be inattentive while we're chanting our japa. But we have to remember, Krishna himself has come. Just as if I could actually, if I could be in Vrindavan right now, in Goloka Vrindavan with Radha and Krishna, that same potency, that same presence of the Lord, as if I were in Goloka Vrindavan with Radha and Krishna face to face, that same presence of the Lord is manifested in the Hare Krishna mantra. Radha and Krishna are fully present right here, right now, but my mind is somewhere else. You see? So we have to beat our mind with shoes, beat our mind with a broomstick, say, okay, rascal, let's get serious about this Maha Mantra meditation now. Let's get really serious about it and go deep, deep, deep into Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this way, if we can chant and avoid these offenses, then it's actually amazing, the potency. I've been meditating lately on a quote from Prabhupada's books. The power of offenseless chanting is actually an unbelievably awesome, actually. Prabhupada says in his purport that if a devotee of the Lord can chant the holy name without any offense, you see, that means completely shuddhanam, pure chanting, then he becomes Jagad Guru. And under his influence, the whole world will start chanting Hare Krishna. So the point is, the more that we can become offenseless, the more we're actually empowered to attract more and more people to chant. So we're chanting not only for our own benefit now, when we understand this instruction from Srila Prabhupada, we're not only chanting for our own benefit, because the more we can purify our chanting, that makes the holy name more and more attractive to the whole world. So we're chanting for our liberation, and we're chanting also for the liberation of all the living entities who are caught up in the cycle of birth and death. Right there in your bead bag, you see, you have something which can actually attract the whole world to Krishna. So that spiritual revolution we're doing by book distribution, Harinam Sankirtan, it also includes the quality of our japa. The Sankirtan revolution is also happening, or potentially happening, in our bead bags. So we should take this chanting very seriously for my own benefit and for the liberation of all living entities. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, it's very nice. We have many sitting in the yoga today. So nice to see all these effulgent faces here today. I'm giving an initiation to two today. First initiation, second initiation to one. So, let's see what the normal procedure is here. Okay, now the three-strand neck bead should be put on the new initiates. And after that is done, then the garlands can be offered to the initiates and to the spiritual master, the officiating priest in this case. And the garland can be offered, some devotee can go and put the garlands on all the new initiates. Now devotees can serve them, they should put their own garlands, somebody can put their garlands on them.